Okay, so that's Jim Smith, and we're on Reel 7. And just to remind you, Jim, Benny Warmby, Rubin, I just remind you that there's some Germans over there.
Well, he came in, I said, the Germans here, these are Germans. I said, well, I don't know. I said, it'll be all right, to stop here. He passed down the line. It wasn't Germans. They were exchanging, you know, what were coming out as we was going in. They passed, as you say, they came across the field, so we went down the road. So I said, yeah, that's a good day. I said, so, just keep on quietly. So, Benny said, well, I said, come on, we'd like to get going. I said, don't start it up, going. I said, what's to do? He said, what have to do with this? I said, we won't. He said, I've got the hand grenade here in the arm. I said, you've what? He said, I've got hand grenade here in the arm. I said, well, put it back. He said, I can't. I said, what for? He said, I've lost the bloody pin. I said, well, what do you want to do then? I said, he set off like getting James. I said, get away from me.
But can I just ask you a question there? What stopped the thing going off?
He held the pin, you see, on a grenade. The pin is on a class.
Yeah.
Right, comes off. And what holds that pin in, that handle, is a pin across, what do you call it? A spring pin, you know.
Okay.
What did he call them?
Split pin?
Split pin. Split pin. Now, they made that way, they're very easy to pull out, for you to throw. So what Benny had done, thinking, well, I'll throw this. He'd let the pin go.
Yeah.
But he'd stuck all the, what did the actual firing it detonator.
So, he's stopping it from going. Yeah.
And that's when he said to me, what they were doing it. I said, well, what? He said, I've got a grenade here. I said, Benny. I said, get away from me. He said, well, what can I do? And I don't know to this day, but I think it were Eric Ferguson, but we're always with Benny. He said, feel around where it, and it was stuck into mud onto his shoe.
So he found the pin.
Yeah. Right, put it back.
Got it. He didn't have to throw it anywhere then.
No. But would you believe? Would you believe that he'd have found the bloody pin anyway?
Well, no, but knowing Rubin Warmby, that's the sort of thing that would happen to him.
Yes, because he never fired a shot, so I said he was turning bloody grenade he'd ever thrown. Anyway.
This was around Eversley.
Eversley. We get in place. Intuition again. Aunt Motors and grain carriers they went through a gate like went to this chateau. Big doors here at Chateau. We didn't know that, of course, but anyway, Motors and carriers went in gate and they went to that side. And when I was pulling in, I thought, there's too many there. They're all in a bunch. So I come to this side. What happened? I think they put about 6 shells amongst lot of them. Dalton, Burnley, Sedgwick, same name as the Petrie, legs off. Your wife ran off station when she see brown lad.
Well, he wasn't killed.
No.
He just had his legs blown off.
2 or 3 were killed. So there were 3 mortars were blown up. They seemed to wait for him. So they were that close. You know?
Yeah. So they must have seen, you think, do you?
Well, they must have heard us coming in. But anyway, he gets in. Do you know, I don't think I'd had a proper sleep up today. Because I've had to be selling. And I'll let myself go when I'm home, right?
You said earlier, when you landed, you've got to stay awake.
Yeah, and I don't think I'd slept properly. A couple hours, a half an hour, wherever.
but not a proper sleep.
And he sorts that out. He came daylight, went further up into the chateau, or before daylight, went up his chateau further up, my vehicle, parked the vehicle aside of this. A bit of a stickler for sticking near a wall, mate. I thought, with it, sorry, that's the third animal. Puts in here this big, thick walls, which they are in France, and gets it bare. I thought, Graham, I thought I could have a bit of a kip here anyway. And Dixon come inside and he said, Smudge, go across the road, I said, what's to do? He said, go in HQ, he said, Colonel wants you. I had to go to sleep, more or less run after a captain. So I went across, landed to go to us. And Colonel, he says, we have a prisoner here. He said, I want you to go to the gate, which should be what happened for me to her addresses.
How far is that in yards, Jim?
Bit more, be about 500 yards, if not near.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe 2 miles to the Manses.
Over the road. Well, that'd only be, to my eyes, about 150 yards.
Well, so 150 to 100.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm Sergeant Broker back here. He was like a policeman in charge, back of all. Police, no need for police when we're at war, but he worked police anyway. He said, they're on the gates. He said, I better dug in. And I said, all right. I thought I had to go up there. I said, now then, I have to go across there. I thought, there's nobody coming with me. I thought, gee, you'll have to go. You have to go, I mean.
Yeah.
Just to send you in.
Yeah.
Everybody else will choose. I thought, well, that's a go. I got about 50 yards and the arm grabbed me. Major Lake, wait, wait. I said, thank God for that. He said, wait, wait. I said, I'm going to Sergeant Burke. I knew it worked, was a big fella. Yeah, but he had an officer. He was a doctor. Just like anywhere. He said, wait, wait. I said, I'm going for Sergeant Burke. I said, well, Perry said, if that's a prisoner down, will he know about it? He said, I all right. He said, now what's your? He said, what are you doing on the road? I said, well, he said, no, I come on. And he got with.
What did he think then, Jim? Was he suspicious of where you were going?
Well, I think he thought I was a jury.
Ah, yeah.
So he could have dropped me.
Yeah.
On your own. He didn't actually go up front to me and over to me.
Yeah.
He was side on.
Yeah.
He brought more juries than anybody. Him and Sergeant Major McAllister. Did that. Anyway, went up to Bowker. Bowker come back. He were a prisoner as he wanted to get information. That's what it was.
Mm.
And he went over at night and pulled one out.
Mm.
And he went that quick, he didn't know what to ditch it. Anyway.
This was like a patrol they sent out, was it, to grab somebody?
Well, as soon as he got in,
yeah.
He wanted to see how many and whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got this bloke. And I thought, well, I can get down now. Okay. Gets down and comes like, Sergeant Major Smith comes to us. He said, I've really had a bit of a trouble. So I said, Anyway, I said to him, he said, oh, all right. He said, I've been talking to Major Lee. He said, now then, I want you to do me a favour. I thought, here we go, Joe Muckins again. I said, what is it now? He said, I want you to go and get your mate out of that chateau cellar. I said, who's that? A few mates, aren't he?
Yeah.
He said, it's Whitaker, your driver, up munitions. said, well, what's to do? He says, well, he's gone. He said, Mr. Lerner.
What's that, Jim?
Mr. Lerner.
We'll stop it a minute.
Stop if I'm wrong.
Jim, so you were talking now about Whittaker.
So he came to me, he turned me, he said, come and fetch your mates out at the chateau, sell it. I said, well, what's there? He said, he's gone again. I said, oh. He said, I want you to call him all the cowards under the sun. Tell him all about to call in a coward. Can't face it. He says, he listened, he's your mate, so tell him. He said, I want him out of there. Well, obviously, I thought, it's all right, he's not you saying that, right? You know? But he has a mind of his own. Anyway, I went down, went to his cellar, and he's there, so I said, what's to do again now? Well, he said, there have been mates you getting on to me, that one at Gun Crew lads. And I said, you're making excuses, I all sorts. Said all sorts. Anyway, I said, we're pulling out. Just a bit human. I said, we're pulling out tonight, this morning. I said, so, if they leave you, I said, you, somebody will come up. Who? I said, what? What can you do? I said, you have to come out. I said, we could order what you're doing. Well, he said, I'll come out if I can come with you. Now I'm going back to the other story, and that's what led me to think.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I won't see it anymore. I'm very tired. I doubt there's no way I've got that back. And anyway, I thought this. So I'm over at the top of cellar steps like where he was intending days what we're sick in a bit wounded like casualties. I said, you come with me if you can stop with me. He said, it's all right, it's not you, tell us about registrant. I said, right on. I said, come on, Bill. Actually, come on. Fetch your smudge, come out. He said, I'll put it. I said, wait a bit. I said, if you need to tell you the story too. I said, if you said, I'll be back again. I said, he said, come with me, stop with me. I said, that's what I'm all said. I said, it. Well, he said, all right then, we'll go along with that for a bit. So he put him second in command to talk.
So just to recap on that little story there, this chap Whittaker, who was a friend of yours, had reached a bit of a personal climax in his what nerves, he was saying.
His nerves have gone, I say.
Yeah.
So, we were all right for a bit with my friend there. And I don't know just where it were. It could be from Chateau. We're moving anyway. No, it stopped this for a little bit.
It's alright, gather your thoughts about where you are.
And we were moving. So, he come to us, he smudged, like he said, take him with you. I said, he's not picked up there. I said, I know he wants a driver. He said, I'll tell the driver. I said, I don't know. I said, I don't think he gets a fare. He said, well, he don't get to go, he said, I'll have to sit with machine. He got at the top of the road and that rate.
What happened at the top of the road?
He couldn't move.
Reaching. Shaking again, was he?
Oh, reaching. And chased. And you know what last time I see after that?
When?
When he go and asked me to go and work for him. He asked me in England to go and work for him.
Okay, so what you're saying there, I guess, is that although this chap had all these personal problems, he actually got through the war.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do any more after that.
He didn't do any more after
that? No, I think he was sent convalescent back in England. His nerves were absolutely shattered.
So he didn't go on from there with the rest of you?
No, I never met Bill till after the war.
Right.
He asked me to come and drive for him.
Right, yeah. I mean, there must have been, that's one story you've told there, but that must have happened all the time.
Oh, yeah.
With people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much of this that goes on, but there must be, people always must meet their own personal time when that happens.
You see, you're on the road, different things as you're talking over the declares, they don't actually have to be war. You're on a route march with a battalion, proper ordinary route march. And you think, you're smelling up, you think, there's somebody done something to you.
Yeah.
And they're a lad with us and he come home nutty. Toilet nutty. And it were a shame because, you know, he was a young lad. And I forget his name. Just said to him, I said, is it ready? Everything in cup.
And you can't criticise for people for that.
You can't have it in your house, Sherry. So now then, I remember went through Sheffield, I carried his rifle for him, new girl. And he just went.
Yeah.
So he must have got his discharge,
But all this, Jim, all this was happening as a consequence of all the fighting, and you'd had some hard fighting up and around Hill 112, west of Caen, around June, July time.
Well, when you think about it, we had the main armour of Hitler's panzers facing us and the Canadians. The main. The others come round, swept round. They're looking to more or less came back, other than troops, of course, but no tanks. The main armour of Rommel forces was facing the British and Canadians. Did you know that?
Yes, I think that seems to be the way of the history books.
Oh, that's it, that's true. And it's under a monkey.
So if we say then that's a sort of an end of a bit of fighting, an awful lot of fighting around that area.
Yeah.
But where do you go? What happens next from there?
Now then, as far as I can think, there it was the Falaise Gap.
Right, moving down towards the Falaise Gap.
Yeah. The Falaise Gap was set off.
But before the Falaise Gap, Jim, if I can just stop you a little bit there, because you mentioned the village earlier, you said something about Bois Arbu, or Bald Halibut, which was just before the Falaise Gap. Yep. What do you remember of Bald Halibut?
Well, that's where the officer saved my life, and he didn't know it, and he was killed.
Good. What was that? I mean, I don't mean he was killed. Somebody saved your life, but what happened?
He saved my life, really. And didn't know it, and I didn't know it. I'd driven Lieutenant Hardy all over the place. And I could talk to him like, just me and you, there are no sirs, you know, Grant. And when we were moving up to Blake Alibu, by Zalwitz, we call it. We stopped at the church. It had been ravaged a bit, but it was pretty good. And what I'm led to believe, there were Air Force pilots back in the altar in there for 2 days. So, of course, it was empty when we got there.
What? Right? Dead or alive?
No, alive. Yeah. So, we rendezvoused up somewhere. They were going to rendezvous somewhere. And while we were going to Weiss Albert, Arden he was waiting, keep order, turn here, turn there. I said, we're turning nowhere. I said, Lieutenant Tully, the MT transport said, stick to the tank tracks. I said, that right? Mm-hmm. I said, he'd stick to the tank tracks, and that's what we're doing. All right. But he was the officer. So we get to the other. We're very near there. And this was turning point in my fighting days, really. So, yes, guys, anyway. He turns around, the dirty. He says to Sergeant Dixon, Dixon didn't like me at all. I don't know why. I ride it to fast framing vehicles, what I don't know. He used to say, you could keep down on it. He said, that fellow's got but he didn't curse me at all. But anyway, he goes to Dixon, he says, Sergeant Dixon, come here. Lift this fella out of my carrier. Send him back to where I saw. So Dixon says to me, what for? He said, he's telling me what to do. He said, I'm the officer here. Then get back and have a couple of days sleep. He said, well, he's sure to. I said, thank God for that. Yeah, he's on here back out on it. Lovely night and whatever. That's your back in comfort. He said, get over there. Yeah, so. I said, what then? He said, well, it's okay when he wants it. I said, that's all right. I said, and when he got in that ration, when he hit your body, just went.
Relaxed.
Right.
Away. Oh, and you slept straight in there, immediately.
Yeah, I got it. Like a wagon. He was like it, but he just relaxed. And I was away.
Yep.
For the creature, because I know we weren't going to fight you. Your whole body relaxed. So, it's a great feeling. But that's where it's from. Oh, same as Kirk's what now into front and quartermaster's training. What's it like with that? Won't you? You come to that and asking you, like, what you've done. Same to the air up there and all. They can't do it. This guy looks up to that. Everything. Flags, broke. Let down that man. Like a little 30, 15 on that thing. But, except morning. Got you know it. Squadron, I said, yeah. I said, no, all they well. This comes here, no? I said, yeah. Get on the motorbike. I said, what for? Do it not get me doing a rick? I thought I'd been on a little bit too long. I said, no, I don't want it. I could talk to him out here because he was the fella's mate, what broke his ankle, what's it come with? They're all together. So that put him all over me. I said, what is it? Well, he said, I don't like to tell you, he said, but Lieutenant Arlene's been shot. I said, no. I said, when I left him last night at 7 o'clock, he said, oh, that's right. He said, if he'd have kept him with you, he wouldn't have been where he is today. Anyway, I went, identified him up. Said that's not what I was saying.
So what you're saying, is what you're saying, because he sent you back to A echelon, you'd have been with him when he got shot?
Not where they were. Because I wouldn't have gone where he'd gone. We were told by the MTO, wherever you go on these roads, at the moment, until it's changed, follow the tank tracks. The armour were in front of you, see. Our vehicles, not the infantry, like Bob would be slogging it somewhere, but the vehicles had to follow the armour.
Mines, there's a danger of mines, surely, yeah. As well.
So, I told the MTO, get just said his name and he's gone. I said, well, I'm not there with him. But I found out after the war, man, not during then. So, I said, wait, he said, the lot being I said, well, where's the head? He said, I don't know. That would have been me, wouldn't it? If I'd have gone where he said.
If he'd have said, let's go down here, you would have had to have gone down there.
I said, no, I ain't gone. That's what I'm going out with. I said, he's told it, Captain Ollie.
Yeah.
I said, then to you, Captain Ollie's told us to follow the tank tracks.
Mm.
I said, you were going on somewhere where nobody's been.
Yeah.
Well, all right, then, carry on. But you see, he told the new driver, which the new driver didn't know him, so he had to follow his instructions.
And they didn't find the driver, you say?
Ben?
You say they didn't find the driver?
He was walking about for about 3 days ago, right through his nose.
Really? You know? So they were both shot?
Well, they both shot out.
Yeah.
When they shot him, they fired him.
Yeah.
Frostless bomb on it. Yeah. But it wouldn't have happened. But now, on saying that, you see, it changed my whole spirit. It was. Now, then he was dead. Obviously, he got another officer. Didn't know me. Airborne had just his life with me. Jez Allen was driving. This other officer didn't know me. They come from 5th Battalion. They called Bartle. They says, Dixon says, you'll be driving Captain Bartle. I said, I won't. I didn't like him anyway. I said, no, I'm not driving. I said, but where you were, I said, I'm not driving. So that's when I got through, he said. So he was just right up Dixon Street. He wanted me off that job. I don't know why. Didn't let me, you know, say all right. So he put Eric Ferguson on.
Yeah. Well,
in my carrier.
Driving the officer.
Correct.
And officer Paul Company.
Correct. Mm. And I went driving the gun on the gun crew team.
Right.
With lads.
Okay. But just to recap again, you'd spent the night in A Echelon.
Yeah.
You'd come back, now you're driving a gun, support company gun. And
yeah,
tank gun.
Support company anti-tank gun.
Is this before or after Boalbo?
After.
So after so you weren't really involved in the Battle of Boalbo as such?
I went back to where I saw. They told me airborne were dead, took me up about 9 a.m. That afternoon I went back to the company I worked at the terminal with license. And he said, seeing as you don't want to drive, he turned me over there. I said, well, you check Ferguson to go, he'll go up there.
Yeah.
So I went on to go. We went through Falaise Gap, is that right?
Well, yeah, Falaise Gap, let me just tell you where you are, because, yeah, Boalbo was August the 12th, and then from August the 12th, you went down toward the Falaise Gap. And you came to a place called Neron Le Bay and Mietz. Now, I don't know whether you've got any recollections of those places.
Is that where they were blown up? And that's where Whittaker went. Because when we jumped on, which I've just been stating, when we jumped into new vehicles as we picked up and went into the yard, the lad, the gun team and half of the lads what were there were blown all up. There were about 10, 12 blown to bits.
Do you know what caused that? What happened there?
And I know exactly what happened. And it was what was said, and we'd said to me, we're wrong. Now, you heard the proper version of the Frenchman. I don't know, you can tell me after. When we went in that yard, they were all over. Sammy Roberts and Jake was to go dead. But that little lad has fell down and off the tree, little Kelly. All stuck. Not going on there, that's what I was. And I don't know it were. Come to me, shaking like a leaf. And I think you were that one called Bates, Ruby Bates, like an old woman. And he was down there. He just missed it. I said, what's the other one? He said, he said, he's looking. I said, I know. He said, he wanted a tin to roll up. Jim Eads will tell you another story. He wanted a tin to roll up. So a detonator tin inside, very clear, clean. Mm. Like a glacial tin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So obviously, he emptied the detonators inside of the wall, burn wall. The sun were on him. So they swilled the tin out, got the our fires was soil and petrol. And when you salt the soil with petrol, it will fire.
And where did you put that, in a tin or?
No, you put it, you know,
on the ground.
No, proper biscuit tin or any sort of tin.
Yeah.
Wanted all the soil.
Yeah.
Fill it out full of soil.
Mm.
And salt it with petrol.
Right.
After you petrol tin.
Set fire to it.
Fire. That was your fire. And you know, it burned out.
Mm.
No smoke. No smoke at all. You could always have a fire.
Mm.
That's where. Mm. When it, obviously, you can't beat a fire smoking all over the place, can you?
That's right.
But that's how we heated everything.